Welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. I'm Ludmila, founder and CEO of Rampic, a B2B digital marketing agency. We help tech founders get the most of their marketing effort and promote their stories to our audience. We believe that every tech founder has a unique story and their business needs attention. Stick around till the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can become our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Hello and welcome to B2B Tech Leaders Lounge, where people from tech industry and beyond share their unconventional visions and stories. And today I'm here with Levi King, CEO and co-founder of Nav.com. Levi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit more of a background just to get things started? What brought you to the business and finance and entrepreneurship space and how Nav was born?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, so I'll be brief and then I can elaborate if you want me to on one point or another. I had started my career, though I didn't ever think of that word, just a series of businesses I've started. In my early 20s, I started an electric science servicing company and I bootstrapped into installation and then manufacturing and sold that business when I was still in my early 20s. And that was the first of five small businesses that I started and sold in different industry verticals throughout my 20s. That kind of gave me the credibility in small business to raise venture capital for my first venture-backed company called Lendio, which is a business loan brokering platform. And that company's been successful, late stage, nine figures in revenues, profitable. And I just got this desire to help solve the data side of the problem for small business owners. Both when I was a small business owner and then at Lendio, the challenge is you don't understand how do third parties make risk-based decisions on your business. And it varies wildly. If it's a FI looking at a business credit card decision or a lender looking at some type of loan, your merchant processor deciding what the discount rate is, your insurer. So your data just has an impact all around your business and your ability to be successful. And so once we were out of the woods at Lendio, I left to start Nav. And so Nav is a credit financial health platform for small businesses to understand and improve the data that third parties use to make risk-based decisions on their business. So that includes personal credit, all three commercial bureaus, and cash flow data are kind of the primary data sets that we advise our customers around. So that's where the idea came from.
This is perfect. And I feel that the small businesses are heavily underserved by the market on things that Nav does. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you use the data to actually help small business owners to navigate the space of finance? It is complicated and complex for many.
Yeah, small business is underserved. I don't think, not because people don't realize it's an opportunity to serve small businesses, just because it's very difficult because the needs across industry vary widely. When I had my electric sign company, I was in a low-risk industry. Manufacturing is easy for a lender to understand. They can look at your financials and your credit and make a decision pretty easily. And then I bought a hotel, and hotels are in a high-risk industry, something I didn't even know was a thing. I thought I'd learned it all at my sign company. And then I had to start all over again, understanding how financing and suppliers and vendors and creditors all looked at a hotel versus a manufacturing company. So I don't like the phrase overlooked. I think it's not overlooked. It's just super difficult to serve. And then customer acquisition is another really difficult component of building a business if you want to serve small businesses, because historically they make their decisions belly to belly. That's obviously changed a little bit over time. They go to the local chamber of commerce, and that's where they're finding solutions and relationships that can help them in their business. So it isn't that the category isn't attractive, it's that it's really difficult to figure out how to serve. And usually when you see a company that's successful serving small business, say like Mindbody, a CRM, they target a particular industry or two or a few that are adjacent, but getting outside of that industry, it's fundamentally a different business. You're trying to serve them, that your tech needs to be different, your product needs to be different. So what we did differently is we said, okay, let's start with the data. Let's not start with software, and let's build software that dynamically wraps around the data so that whether you're a plumber, you're a baker, no matter what type of business you're in, you feel like the software was just built for you. And so doing it in that order helped us scale a software platform that serves really any industry. It doesn't matter what your time of business is, doesn't matter what your geography is, doesn't matter what your current view of your business looks like from a risk perspective. The software wraps around the data, and then all the content, any advice that we're giving you is all dynamically wrapped around your data so you feel like it was just built for you.
This is a very interesting take because, again, the diversity of use cases that you deal with is indeed like it really varies, even from one small business to another small business in the same like niche or even the same location. And Levi, one of the things that I wanted to ask you, it's when you serve that many data points, how do you structure them in the best way possible? Like you just briefed us on like on the individualized and personalized decisions, but what are the key drivers that make the data reliable for you and for your clients?
So the data in and of itself is reliable in the sense that we get it directly from the source. Now, that doesn't mean it's accurate. There's oftentimes errors in the data that we have to help surface so our users can fix those with credit bureaus. But the data itself is sound. And then the big question, though, is what do you do with the data? And so when we were starting out, we had general ideas as to American Express, if they're underwriting a business credit card, these are the things they look at. But we didn't know. American Express wasn't going to reveal their black box to us. And so it took for a long time, machine learning and now AI to reverse engineer all of these underwriting decisions to define what are the edge cases. So with American Express, for example, you've got to have pretty good personal credit. You got to have time in business. You got to be in an industry that's not high risk. There's a variety of factors. But then we find edge cases like you may have a personal credit score that's not that great. But if you previously had a card with American Express that you were never late, you weren't charged off, or if you currently have a card with American Express, then there's still a high probability you're going to be able to get the business card, even though on the surface it doesn't look like that you will. And so that's really where the data came into play, is closing the loop over time. If you get your first customer, very little. Like you could show them their data, but you can surface like obvious things like, hey, you got a tax lien. You got to take care of that. That's a problem. Stop paying your vendors late. That's a problem. But you can't really connect the dots yet between make these four decisions that, and it will unlock an opportunity for you. And so now we have over 1 million users and we've been in business for a long time and have made recommendations successfully for years. And so it just, there was no way to cheat the system. We just had to earn our way into smart recommendations using the data based on years and years of experience. And then it's always a moving target because vendors and creditors are always shifting their underwriting guidelines. If the economy starts to go sour a little bit, like during COVID, everybody stopped lending. And so that was really easy to detect in our data, but usually it's more subtle where XYZ FI will tighten their underwriting criteria, and then all of our models have to adjust so that we're not recommending someone that yesterday they would have been approved for the Chase Inc. card or Capital One Spark card for business, and today they won't. And so that's got to happen in real time all the time. It never ends.
Those micro changes, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, do you see any difference in like financial patterns or overall kind of like user behavior when it comes to younger generation of entrepreneurs? Because you have 1 million users. I can imagine that you have all generations, but it's interesting to see what do you see in the data when we talk about different generations of entrepreneurs?
I would certainly say that being open to digital solutions varies widely by age. That said, we find that if you're Gen Z, you're still a little more old school in how you use digital technology than your peers that don't own a small business. Same is true with every generation. Like millennials are a little bit more old school if they own a small business. I think though that's not because there's something about the wiring of someone who wants to start a small business and the fact they operate a little differently. I think that you have to. There's still so many things in as a small business owner that just aren't automated. There's still tons of different types of financing where human intervention is required. You can't just get a loan without talking to someone. And so I think it'll continue to change over time, but we definitely see a generational difference in the willingness to just use technology soup to nuts because our product is fully digital. So we don't have a sales force that goes out and sells it, which was really difficult not to crack because that's like Gusto or really any small business based tech product. You got to have an army of salespeople talking to folks on the phone before they sign up, after they sign up. There's usually a big client success function, and ours is fully digital. We do embrace the phone. So if you want to call us, we have a really good customer care team that you can talk to And so, not surprising, you'll see patterns there on the age of our customer and the probability that they're going to make a call to the customer service team to talk about this or that. And sometimes it's like they're looking at the screen and they're repeating exactly what they say, and they just needed to hear a voice confirm, yes, you are reading that correctly. That is right. But that's fine. We embrace that in our model. We welcome customer interaction. The only opportunity that we have to manifest our brand in person is if someone calls us.
That is true. And interestingly enough, in other businesses, we also see that people just stop using the phones the way that they used them like 3-5 years ago. It's all texting now. And I don't know, maybe COVID hit us way too hard on this one angle too. But indeed, that's an interesting pattern. And I also wanted to ask you, I see a lot of very helpful, I would say, humane stuff. And by the way, Levi King, CEO and co-founder of nav.com, please feel free to connect with Levi on LinkedIn and also navnav.com. That's the place to go to check out the platform and to check out the use cases and everything that the platform does for the small business. Beautiful website. Love the inclusivity video that you have and the sense of community that you're building. That's really important, and it communicates so well. nav.com, that's the website to go to check out the product and the platform. And my question is, what is the most exciting feature about Nav for you now?
The future?
Yeah, the most exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think having an impact at greater scale. Right now, we're only US-based. Like I said, we have 1 million customers, but there's 30 million small business owners we could be having a positive impact on. There's always new things we're building. There's things that we're improving in the product. Historically, we've done a good job connecting the dots between your data and a business credit card or any type of loan. And we've dabbled in other categories. Right now, we've got a lot of efforts on connecting the dots between your data and trade credit opportunities, which is a different type of financing, net 30, net 60 terms with vendors. And so there's a lot of work happening this year to aggregate that ecosystem because it's super fragmented. Like, lending and cards are not nearly as fragmented as trade credit is. Overall, but really it's the scale. We're having a positive impact. That's always been my number one driver, is the empathy that I have for small business owners that comes from having been a small business owner. And then eventually a big ambition is international geo expansion, whether it's the UK or Brazil. There's a lot of markets we've done enough diligence to know that our tech would work pretty well. And then there's other ones like China that not so much we've diligenced. So really a lot bigger scale, having a lot bigger impact on the economy overall, and then getting into international expansion. Those are our 5-year ambitions.
This is very exciting indeed. And I like the way that you see it is like in a more ethical and natural way for the product. It looks like the tension goes where the money goes, in a way. And indeed, the Brazil and Latam now, I hear a lot of good signs from different industries that this emerging market has tremendous potential. And the time zones will be so much easier for the team as well. So it is a good one. And I also wanted to ask you about the different ways how people can actually experience Nav. Can you tell us a little bit more about the levels of services that you have, a little bit more of the core products that you would recommend exploring at the platform? It's nav.com, so it's pretty like extensive in terms of the description. But for somebody who is just starting, what would be the best way to partner with you? What would you recommend doing?
So with our software, there's a free version, and then there's a version that you can upgrade and unlock some additional software and fintech value. So just to start with the free product, take a look. We'll give you visibility into your personal credit, 3 commercial data sets, cash flow insights. And then if there's more that you want to do than that, then you can check out our software that you can upgrade and pay for. We make financing recommendations. We, like I mentioned, we do have a customer care team. We have financing experts, business credit building experts. If you're newer to business, you're probably going to have a lot more kind of foundational questions. And how do I get started? And how do I get established? If you've got 1 to 3 years in business, whether you like it or not, you've already established some history with your business's credit. And so a lot of times there it's, okay, how do I deepen this? But oftentimes it's, how do I improve it? Because you probably stubbed your toe a little bit and probably hurt your credit along the way. And then for those that are pretty established, it's usually just, how can I leverage this for better terms on my financing, better terms with vendors, and of course, protect it. Just as a consumer, you got to get started when you're a fresh adult. And then once you get that rock solid credit, you kind of get worried about identity theft or just slipping on a payment here. And then you got a late payment. You see your credit score tank 100 points. Same thing applies to a business. And so really just depends on where they're at in their journey. But our, like I said, because our software wraps dynamically around the data, if you're just starting out, we're going to help you get set up through the product so that you can start to get your credit established with the commercial bureaus. If there's problems, we're going to help you mitigate those problems, make better decisions so that your credit gets better over time. And then if you're happy and you've achieved that level of freedom in your small business, you're not looking to expand and you're not looking to get financing, then that's where you get peace of mind by keeping an eye on it, make sure nothing goes off the rails.
That's a great take on it. And I love the leather-based approach. So if you're like just starting, it's like the free version. I think it's already will be good level of visibility into like where you are and what could be coming next. That's great. And I see a lot of really cool success stories on your website, which is heartwarming because I do feel for people who are just starting out or who are like in the small business world, myself included. But I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite customer success story, if you have one?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I don't know that I have a favorite. We've got countless stories. We have a million users and we've had a couple million over the life of the company. But the funniest one is when we started the company, it was just me, my co-founder, and a couple engineers. And we went live at the beginning of 2013. And guess who customer service was? It was me and my co-founder. And because the product was pretty rudimentary, right? It was a minimum viable product. Didn't have a ton of data yet, just one commercial bureau, one consumer bureau. And at the time, we hadn't been able to work with the bureaus in a way to offer something for free. So you paid or you got nothing. And so every call, like you brace yourself a little bit. Oh, it's probably somebody that's going to complain with how clunky this is. And I got a call from this guy who had an excavation company in Arkansas. I don't remember the name of the business, but he's, I just want to make sure I understand this. So on the left, that's my business's credit. And on the right, that's my personal credit. I'm like, yeah. And he's, this is amazing. And just went off about how good it was. And then he started asking questions about his business credit because there was quite a bit of derogatory things on his credit report, and quickly established that there's a business that has a similar name in Arkansas that's a couple counties over that, and it wasn't his, it was errors on his report. And then he just went off. He was swearing. He was saying, this other guy, I can't remember, he said the guy's name. He's, one time I got served. They served me for a lawsuit. He was getting sued by somebody. And so we helped him sort it all out. It took a little bit of time, but because their names sounded similar and they were in the same state, that is a common problem where sometimes your report will get mixed up with someone else. Happens in the consumer space as well, but not as often. And so it's just cool that one of our very first customers was able to get it sorted out. And he told all these stories about how, you know, he'd been in business like 20 years and he had a solid company, but where he couldn't get an equipment lease or different things. And now he knew why. His credit was mixed up with somebody who was not a good actor and didn't have good credit. And so we've just got countless stories like that. Now it's a lot easier. They don't have to call and talk to someone like me. We had one customer who started and they just had subprime credit, everything. It was just a mess. And got to work, making better decisions, better financial decisions. Their credit got better over time. And eventually they were able to get a subprime loan, and then they followed our software's advice. And eventually they were able to get rid of that loan and get a mid-prime loan. And then eventually it took a year or 2 years of developing the right financial habits so that their credit was healthy enough and their financials were healthy enough that eventually she got an SBA loan, which is kind of like the pinnacle of good financing options. And so we just see that over and over in our customer base.
This is awesome. And Levi, thank you so much. This is probably the kind of product that the small businesses need to know more about. NAV.com, please explore the opportunities. A lot of good functionality there and a lot of ethics and actually very humane way to help the business owners navigate the financial part of it. Levi, thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed this conversation so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Ludmila here. Thanks so much for listening to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. If you are a B2B tech founder who would like to be on the show, visit podcast.rampic.agency. If you've got something from this interview that you would like to share, please go ahead and post the link to this episode on social media. Just grab a link, send it to a friend. If you know someone who will be a great guest on the show, tag them in your post to let them know about the show and include our podcast name, which is B2B Tech Founders Lounge, in your post. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are adding new episodes frequently, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. This means a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Visit us at Ramfic Agency website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.